Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and as you do, just want to touch on some of the things that the Lord has spoken to us on Thursday. I keep wanting to say Friday. Amen. But be encouraged, amen. Tell yourself every day if you have to, several times a day, that my change is going to come.
Amen.
My change is going to come. Amen. And I'm excited about that because I believe, you know, how many of you know God wants you to be the best person that you can be?
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's not many that, you know, there's not many people that have your best interest at heart, you know. And of course, even for those who do, no one can have your best interest at heart like God does. Amen. And God wants you to be the best person that you can be. And that person is the one he created you to be. There's some things that I can say personally, and I believe you can relate to it as well, that there's some things on the inside I can say, I haven't been that person. Well, I've had glimpses. I've had some momentary successes at some of the things. But there are some things that, you know, I feel that I'm not supposed to do them occasionally. They're supposed to mark who I am.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, those times when I'm, like, pleasantly surprised when I exhibit patience. That's who I'm supposed to be. God has shown me that picture, you know, the one who's like unflappable. And somebody laughed?
No.
I thought I heard a laugh, Sister Nyla. That's what I thought. Amen. That's the picture. That's the vision. That, you know, that person, and not the one that occasionally does it, and then, you know, you have a testimony about it. You know what I mean? Some of the things we testify about, God wants us, see, we testify about it because it's so rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God actually wants us to be that person more times than not. In other words, he wants us to be that person really all the time.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, and every now and then we do something, go, I know that was God. God wants to say, I know that was you. Why? Because now we have cooperated with him,
yes.
And we become that person that he saved us to be. Amen. God saved us not for us to stay the same, but for us to be conformed to the image of the Son.
Yes.
Amen. In other words, to be more like Jesus. The scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Not in the great by and by.
Right now.
In this world, amen, that's the plan. And so our change is going to come, amen, your change is going to come. We're in Luke chapter 6, I want to look at verses 46 through 49 as the Lord talks today about two people who build houses, amen. Two people who build houses. In verse 46, Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. Now let's pray this morning one more time. Father, we come before you now, God, and Father, we desire to hear your word. Father, your word, God, enlightens us. Your word fills us with revelation. Your word gives us guidance and direction. Father, we need your word to know how to live. And so, Father, we're praying now that you will release your word in this place, that you will release it with power, that you will bless us with the ability to not only hear it, but to understand it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And most of all, God, that you will grant us the grace to go forward and to do the word that we hear today. And Father, we thank you right now for speaking words of life unto us, oh God. Father God, increase us in our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Help us to hear your word so that our faith may come, and then God prompt us to release it, oh God, as we need to, in order to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Father, I ask you now, God, to look upon us now with kindness and with love. Father God, bless me now, oh God, with your anointing, with your grace, as I humble myself under your hand. Yeah. And Father God, let you be exalted and glorified by everything that is done and said here in this place. And let your people be blessed and edified. And we give you all the praise now for the marvelous work you are doing. Have your way, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are two people here, amen, Jesus talks about in his, this teaching. Amen. And he talks about those who listen to him, who hear and do, and those who hear and don't. Right? And he says, and he compares them to those who build houses. Amen. And one house stands the test of time, and the other house doesn't. Amen. And if you know which group you belong in, amen, you can say this with me this morning. I'm built to last. Amen. I'm built to last. I am not going to crumble just because the storms of life come. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm built to last. I stand here today in all humility and say, God has made me into a person who is not just hearing what he says, but I'm doing what he says.
Amen.
But here's the thing. I need to get better at the doing.
Amen.
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 Yeah, I need to get better at the doing, because sometimes, amen, we can get to the point where we do some of the word of God, but we don't do it all. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know. Like, you know, you forgive somebody, but it takes you 3 months. You know, or longer, amen. Where did Jesus say that? Amen. You know, we do some of the word, or we do it, we put a little twist on it, and we put our little God understands my heart on it, you know, and we can get to the point where we water it down somewhat. And next thing you know, you're not really doing the word in its fullness. And see, we need to be able to do this word the way God says we should do it. Amen. And if you think about it, amen, when God said to us the other day that he said, let God transform you, right, into a new person. Let God transform you by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? That God is going to change you and me through his word.
Yeah.
God's not going to come and force us to do something. He's not going to press upon our head or make us write something or, you know, push us out of the way or make us put our hands to the work. God's going to speak to us. And then it's up to us to pay heed to what he's saying. And in the doing of what God says, we become different people. That's how the change comes. It comes through allowing him, through his word, and through his teaching, and through his sharing with us, amen, to become different people. But we have to cooperate with him. Remember the people we saw on Thursday, amen. No man could help any of them.
Right.
Couldn't change any of their situations, right? The woman with the issue of blood went to experts, couldn't be helped, amen. Right. The woman who was bowed over at the waist for 18 years couldn't lift herself up. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't help herself. There's no self-help there, amen. The man who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, other men couldn't help him because they couldn't move fast enough. right? They weren't there when he needed them most. How many people can relate to that? And then the man who was blind, he was that way since he was born. No man could help any of those people, but Jesus helped them all. Amen. Jesus helped them all, and don't you know that their lives were changed? What do you think? That woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, that now when she gets healed by Jesus, you don't think her life was different? You don't think her life was improved?
Right.
As long as she had that issue, she was an outcast. She couldn't even be around other people. She had to stay away. She couldn't even be a member of society. But now that she's healed and made whole, she now has a newness of life.
Yeah.
What about the woman who was bowed down?
Yeah.
All she could see was the ground. All she could see was dirt and people's dirty feet and everything. She couldn't lift herself up. Can you imagine walking? All the time you walk, this is the only thing you can see. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people spiritually who are walking around that way.
Yeah.
They don't see anything. Amen. Their heads are down. Their spirits are down. Everything about them is just negative. I'm not saying this in a critical way. It's because life has beat them down. But see, and I'm sure people are trying to help them. Maybe they've gone to psychiatrists and all those types of things, and they can't do anything for themselves, just like that woman. But Jesus then speaks a word into her, and what happens? She straightens.
Yes, right?
Her position in life changes. Mm-hmm. Right? He's able to do that. And we saw the same thing with the man who was at the pool and at Bethesda who was impotent. That means he had no power. Mm-hmm. Had no power. In other words, he was powerless.
Yeah.
Anybody ever felt that way sometimes? You're powerless to do things about things in your own life. It's like you can't see how you can make your way, but you can't do it. And even other people can't do it. But Jesus does it. He did it for that man. Now, how did he do it? He did it by a word. He did it by a word. And he healed the man who was blind, stuck in that position all his life. And he did it by a word. So how is Jesus going to work a change in your life and mine? He's going to do it by a word. And if that change has been something, and that situation has been something that needs to be dealt with for a long time or a short time, it doesn't matter. The way Jesus is going to go about changing that thing is through his word. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be through his word. And that's why God says, the word says, let God transform you into a new person. Right? Let God transform you. In other words, give God permission. Isn't that something? Do you know God needs a permission slip? Remember when you were in school and you know, when you used to go on trips, you had to bring home permission slips for your parents to sign so that you can go on a trip. And if you didn't bring the permission slip, you couldn't go. Now, I don't know about you. There's been some time. There were times. I signed the permission slip. Because my mom said I couldn't go, but I wanted to go. I know I'm not the only one that signed the permission slip. My mom said I couldn't go, and I signed the permission slip. Yeah, don't get my ideas. Amen. But you need a permission slip in order to go on the trip, in order to get on that bus and to, you know, go have a good time with everybody else. Well, in some ways, God needs us to sign the permission slip. Mm-hmm. See, because God's not going to force himself on us. God didn't force it. He didn't force salvation on you.
That's right.
What makes you think he's going to force anything else on you? He makes it available.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about God. God is always available. That's why he says what? Come unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But God's not going to force you. He's not going to tell you, sit down. Right? He says, come to me, right? And I'll give you rest. Right? But we have to allow God to do his work in our life. And God is not going to do any work in our life without his word.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the word is so important. And so when God is speaking, and here's the thing, when God is speaking, we have to be able to take that word and really apply it to our lives. Let me read this passage in the Message version of the Bible. Luke 6:46-49. It says, "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you?" Mm-hmm. Now hear Jesus saying to me, "Why are you so polite with me? Always saying, 'Yes, sir,' right? And 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you." And let me tell you something. Do you know God's not fooled by our little politeness?
Exactly.
God's not fooled by our nice clothing. God's not fooled by how many bumper stickers we have on our car. God's not fooled by how many scriptures we put on our website or our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. God's not fooled by how many Bibles we got laying around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
God's not fooled by any of that stuff.
Exactly.
God's looking at one place and one place only, folks. Mm-hmm. He's looking at our heart.
That's right.
He's not looking at all this outward stuff that we got going on. Amen. He doesn't care about that. So he says here, he said, "Why are you so polite with me?" "Yes, Lord." "Yes, Lord." "Saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you." I'm telling you, God has looked to see what you do. Amen. Yeah, you said you were going to do it. Remember the story that Jesus told about the man who had two sons? And he told one son, "Go out to the field." And he said, "Yes, sir, I go." And he didn't go.
Yeah.
And the other one said, "No, sir, I'm not going." But then he repented and he went. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "Which one of them did the will of the Father?"
Yeah.
And he made it plain, the one who went.
Yeah.
Not the one who said he was going to go, the one who went.
Yeah.
Amen. He's looking to see who's doing the work. "These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life." You hear what Jesus said? They're not mere additions to your life.
Right.
In other words, as Moses said, the word is your life. Mm-hmm. The word of God is not something that you put on top of what Oprah said. The word of God is not something you put on top of what you learned in school.
Right.
The word of God is not that. The word is your life.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, and if the word is your life, then when the experts, what they say, contradict what the word says, you know to kick what the experts say to the curb.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You don't start wrestling with it. You know. No, the word is the final authority for my life.
Yes.
And they're not mere additions to your life. It doesn't go on top of what your parents taught you. God bless everything your parents taught you and all the things. But what? How many of you know there are some things, if you live long enough, amen, and you get into the Word long enough, there are going to be some things that your parents taught you that are contrary to the Word.
That's
yes.
True.
Amen.
And you say, "Well, no, good parent." Okay, those parents who go around telling boy, men ain't supposed to cross. That's contrary to the word, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Bible said Jesus wept.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Jesus was a man,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Right? But that's just a simple example. But there are things that that we get taught along the way of how we're to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear things. How many times parents say, tell you, follow your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your heart. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow your heart. That's not what the word says,
exactly.
Right? The word says the Lord is your shepherd,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The Lord is your shepherd. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and do what? Follow me."
Yes.
He said nothing about follow your heart. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But a good intentioned parent would say, "You know what? You can be anything you want to be." See, now. Here's the thing. You need to be what God created you to be.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, there's some people, I'm telling you now, I don't care what you do, you will not be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Don't tell a child that. But my point is this. We need to tell a child and a young person coming up that God has a plan for your life.
Yes. Yes.
Right? God has a plan for your life. And you can be whatever it is that God has ordained for you to be.
Yes.
And it's better for a child to seek out a young person, and even a not so young person, to continue to be in a seeking mode of trying to find out what it is, what is God's will for my life. If you go back to the scripture from Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we read, right, it said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. But then that scripture in verse 2 in the King James Version says, so that you may know or prove what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That's what we need to know. Right? I need to know the will of God for my life, and so do you. So Jesus says here, amen, he says, these words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. Amen? It's not just some stuff that can make your life better. They are your life. They are foundation words, Jesus said, words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it.
Yes.
See, that's how we're supposed to be, amen? Unshakable, right? Things come against us in our life. If our life is built on the Word of God, then you can't be shaken. Mm-hmm. Amen? You can't be shaken. Amen. The psalmist said, you know, when he talked about the storm of light coming, he said, I shall not be moved. Amen. Then later on, he said, I shall not be greatly moved. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. When God is your foundation, the devil is going to have a hard time moving you.
Yeah.
Right? Things are going to come in your life, but you're going to find out that you're still going to stand strong because your life is founded upon a strong foundation. So you're going to be unshakable. He said, when that storm comes, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies, uh-oh. If you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, look what Jesus said. You are like a dumb carpenter. Somebody said, I ain't no dumb carpenter, amen. I'm no dumb carpenter,
amen.
But if you just use it in Bible studies and don't work into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. So we have to make up our mind, amen, who we want to be. And I'll say this. I believe everybody in here up until this point, you got to this point in your life because you built your life upon the rock.
Yes.
Right? But now watch this. The person who doesn't build his life upon the rock, he builds his life, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, we see a similar, Jesus also tells this parable, amen, about the two buildings. And we see there that Jesus said that the one builder built on the rock and the other one built on the sand. He said he built on the sand. This one here, Jesus said that he built upon the earth. Same thing. But he built upon the sand. But he didn't build a foundation. So what's up with that builder? You know what that builder did? That builder took a shortcut. That builder took a shortcut, and you know what he was able to do? He was able to build his house faster. And he was on a better location. His house was on the beach.
Yeah.
He had beachfront property. He was on the beach. But he took shortcuts and he built his house faster. See, here's the thing. You know there are some people in your life who have taken shortcuts and they've gotten to where they are faster than you've gotten to where you are. They might have gotten married faster, had kids faster, got the promotion faster, graduated from school faster, started their business faster. They've done a whole lot of things faster than you.
Yeah.
But don't envy them. Because if what they've done is taken shortcuts and built their life on the sand, when the storms come,
yeah,
not if, when the storms come,
yeah,
you're not going to be envying those who got to their destination faster than you. Don't let the devil trick you into telling you things like, you know, everybody else is passing you by. God has a plan for you.
Yes.
And if you stay with God, his plan will come to pass. And maybe it takes longer for you than it does for somebody else. But don't, that person, that somebody else could be taking a shortcut.
That's right.
Amen. They could have skipped the foundation building that you have taken time to do. You know, they listen, and watch this. And you say, well, you know, this is not about people who in the church, not the church. Look at what Jesus said. He's talking about people. You look at verse 47. He said, whosoever cometh to me. Both these builders came to Jesus. How do you know? Because both of them heard him. Okay, he said, one heard and did, one heard and didn't. So both came to Jesus. So what does that say? They let's put it in modern times. Amen. They came to Jesus, they saved. They came to Jesus, they come to church. But they're hearing Jesus, they're hearing him, but one's doing and one's not. And you see somebody else getting ahead. They got their new car faster than you got your new car. They got their house faster than you got your house. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
You're built to last, amen. They may be building their house on the sand. And only time will tell whether or not what they're doing is going to last. Don't concern yourself with them. You keep doing what you're doing. You've gotten this far because you have been committed to God. That you've been committed to his word. Don't turn back now. Amen. Don't try to get shortcuts now. You keep doing what you're doing. So this one building on the sand is not really listening. The storms come and the house falls down. But watch this. That person enjoyed that house for a while. You know what I mean? That person enjoyed the house for a while. But their house was up there first. They were partying while you were still working on your foundation. Their house is done. You still working on your house. You taking your time, amen. You going through your paces. You're going through it. God is showing you how to lay the proper foundation. Your house is finally built. Weather's beautiful for both of you. Both of you enjoying your houses. Breezes are coming in. It's blowing the curtains in both your houses. Right? Seems like there's no difference between you and them except that they've been doing it a lot longer than you. But the storm comes, amen. And when the storm comes, amen, your house stands the test of time and their house falls. I'm telling you now, I'd rather be slow to the dance and last than to be the first one there and find myself having, when the storms come into my life, that now I'm knocked flat on my back. A whole lot of people, when I went to school, amen, they graduated before I did. A whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Right, I dropped out of school. I was a dropout for 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying God made me drop out or anything like that, but you know what? But God still had a plan for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get off of God's plan, or sometimes God's plan is, look, you were reading the scriptures today about how perseverance builds character. There are some things I'm convinced in my heart. No one can tell me different. That I wouldn't have the character that God has given me had I not gone through some stuff. Mm-hmm. Amen. If life was just a breeze, I believe that I would be a different person than I am today.
Yeah, true.
Amen. And so I believe that God had a plan. Right? And he had a plan for me to be a certain person. But I had to go through some things first. And maybe going through that disappointment and seeing all my high school classmates go on to college and graduate and start their careers. And I'm just sitting back and I'm watching this. Amen. This was before Facebook, but how many of you know people still, there were still ways that you knew what your friends were doing.
Yes.
And I had, you know, especially your best friends and your good friends, amen. And I had friends, they graduate, they get a good job, and I'm struggling to try to make ends meet. And I'm watching them, and I'm saying, and I was a better student than they were. And it didn't matter, right? Because they went and they got that thing. Now, I'm not saying they built that house. What I'm saying is about being fast. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes you just have to build your foundation. And God was at, little did I know, God was at work with me. He said, look, I'm going to bring, boy, you don't know what I'm going to do in your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. But don't try to be too fast. The Bible says that the race is not given to the swift. Don't focus on getting where you're going at a certain speed. Focus on getting there, and once you get there, being confident that once you get there, I'm staying there.
Yeah.
And the only way you can have that kind of confidence is that your life has to be built on a rock. Amen. And that rock is Jesus. That rock is His Word. But how do you build your life on the rock? Here it is. The man who builds his house, you got to dig deep. Amen. Right? You want to build on a rock, you got to dig deep. And I'll tell you this much. I don't know how many of you ever done any digging. Digging is hard work. And when you have to pick up a shovel and dig into the ground, see, because the ground's not cooperating with you. The ground doesn't help you. The ground doesn't do anything. It just lays there. And you have to continue to put the shovel in, take dirt out, move it, take dirt out, move it, take dirt out, and there's no shortcut in that kind of work. There's no shortcut in that kind of work. And I tell you this, I remember my wife and I, years ago, we only did it once, and this shows you how hard it is. We went to the nursery, and we got plants. And we pulled up the other plant. There's one or two plants. And then we dug to put another. You remember how hard her
was?
Yes. That was years ago. She probably remembered it like it was yesterday. That was some hard work. That was just a plant. You know, but you have to dig down so that you can put, you know, because you got the pot and everything else. You want to put it down in there. That takes a lot of work. It takes time to dig deep. And I believe that, you know, what we are tempted of the enemy to do is to just do some surface work.
Yeah.
And to pass it off to God as if we're committed and devoted to Him. And God said, no, you're just being polite to me. You're just being polite. What's He looking for? He's looking for us to take the time to dig deep. To take that time and to let Him forge that character in us that can only come through some testing, some trials. We have to dig deep. And once we dig deep, it says we lay a foundation on a rock. But this is the thing. Jesus said the person who does that is the one who does what I say. Right? In other words, we have to be the doers of the word that we hear. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because that's how we're going to be changed. It's not just simply hearing the word. Right? Mm-hmm. I love what Paul says about when he talked about when he went to Berea to preach. He said when he preached to the Bereans, they went home and they checked the scriptures to see if what he said was true. How many of us really, come on, I'm just going to look this way. How many of us actually go home and check the scriptures to see what the preacher said that Sunday morning was true? Or even check the scriptures just to get more revelation from it? See, a lot of times if we're honest, amen, we just take it and we're good. And we just, but dig deep, amen? Amen, go a little bit deeper. Right? In other words, you heard that word, but go deeper. You're reading a Sunday school lesson, they give you some of the scriptures, but you know what? Cross-reference some of those things. Go deeper.
Amen.
You have your devotional and stuff? Fine. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you too and lead you what? Deeper into more revelation. But that takes some time. That takes some time. So you know what I said? When I hear this, you know what I said to me? Know what immediately comes to my mind? Lord, you're going to have to help me with my schedule. You're going to have to help me with my day, with the way I go about my day. Because here's the thing I know. If I'm going to change, and if change takes time, then guess what? I'm going to have to rearrange how I use my time.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
it's amazing. We've heard this so many times. Like, you want something different, you got to do something different, right? Amen. And part of that is, I got to change the way I use my time. How do I use my time? Well, that includes what time I get up, what time I go to bed, right? What shows I watch, right? What games I'm watching. I'm sorry, you know, but if my team ain't in the playoffs, but you know what? Your team ain't in the playoffs either. And your team might not be in the playoffs after the day, so. But if my team was on, I may have to say I'm not watching it. I know that's blasphemy to some people, but we got to make a choice, amen? Are we going to continue to do the same thing? All I'm saying, we have to examine. Let God point us to an examine. What is it that needs to be changed? What is it that needs to be modified? How do you need to rearrange something so that you can take the time to build the foundation? Because foundation building takes time. You're going to build a foundation quickly. Amen? And here's the thing I believe. You know, the preacher said for years and years, you know, what does that say? New levels, new devils. Remember that old saying? New levels, new devils. But it is a truth to that. Amen? Because the demon world, it works in a hierarchy too, as we looked at the, right? Because why else would it say, you know, that we battle out against flesh and blood? Why don't you just say we battle against demons? It doesn't say that. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. Why four categories? Mm-hmm. There's levels, mm-hmm. right? And so here's the thing. If you and I are planning to go, who's planning to go higher in 2016?
Amen.
Right? Who's planning to do more in 2016? Well, how many of you know you're going to have more opposition? How many of you know you're going to have stronger opposition?
That's right.
Then how do you think that your same exercise regimen is going to be enough to keep you strong?
Exactly.
Do you see? Mm-hmm. But that's what the enemy wants us to get. Yeah, believe on higher and even try to get higher. But keep doing your same exercise. And then when you come up here, I'm going to slap you down because you're going to be too weak to deal with me. You see what I mean? Because as you go to a new level, see, you strive, I'm doing this now. And the enemy going, oh yeah, and he just kicks you right back down, and you're not strong enough to resist him. Doesn't the Bible say, resist the devil, and he will flee?
Yes.
Well, if you're going to be facing stronger and stronger demons, don't you think your ability to resist has to be stronger? Well, you're going to have to take some time to build up that strength, some time to build up that kind of foundation. Amen. So let's take the time. Amen. But Jesus said that the one who's digging the foundation, the one who's taking the time to make sure that he's going to or she's going to be there for the long haul is the one who is doing what he says.
Yeah.
Not just being polite, not just nodding up the head up and down and saying, yes, Lord, but actually doing what God says. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 22. Start there, verse number 22. Let's start at verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So, first of all, it says that we are to receive the word, which is able to save your souls. So, praise God for receiving the word, amen. The word is preached, the word is taught, the word is read, the word is shared, and you receive it. Praise God, because that word is able to save your souls. But then the word, James goes on and said, but don't stop there. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, don't just receive the word. Don't just listen to the teaching tapes. Amen. Don't just watch, TBN and get some additional preaching. Right? Don't just read the books. Don't just read the word, but what? Be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this is the thing, amen, that we have to ask ourselves. Lord, show me. Amen. I don't want the me that I believe in. Show me the real me. Because that real me is the one that God is concerned about and is working on. Not the me I got in my head, right? Some of us got a me in our head that's better than the real me. I know you don't like that. But it's true. You know how many husbands, when they talk to somebody else, they'll tell, I'm a good husband. And their wife is over in the corner going, right? We think we're better than we are. Yeah. Amen? But I don't want that me. I want the real me. But if any man is a hearer of the word, if you hear the word, if you receive the word, but you're not a doer, the word says that that man is like someone who looks in the mirror. And then in verse 24, he looks at himself, sees what he looks like, and then he walks away. And right away, he forgets what he looks like. In other words, that man has no staying power. He can't even remember who he's supposed to be. But the one who stays in the Word, who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What happens to this man, to this woman? This man shall be blessed in his deed. It's through the doing, right? So we will get farther ahead. We're going to accomplish some things, but it takes some time. It takes some time. When I say take some time, I'm not putting like a weeks, months, or years on it. It's talking about just taking the time to build the foundation. To stay on the word, right? To dig deep into the word, right? To dig deep. Watch this. Look at what Jesus says, and thank you, Lord. In John chapter 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You remember that? After dinner, he got up and he girded his waist about with a towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. Remember, you know, he came to Peter, and Peter didn't want him to wash him and all that. But then Peter relented, and Jesus washed all of their feet. And in verse 15 of John 13, Jesus said, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. That you should do what? You should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Verse 17 in the Amplified Version says, if ye know these things, blessed and happy and to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. See, that's what God is looking for us. He wants us to act accordingly and really do what he's saying to do, right? It's time, can I say this? It's time out for us right now to keep acknowledging that God tells me to forgive, but I'm not doing it. Well,
yeah.
It's time out for that. Because
yeah.
You know what? It's like we're without excuse. Dig deep. Amen? Right? I mean, take the time, really get into that word. If you're not, what's going to fix you or change you if you have a problem doing anything that's in God's Word? Can I tell you? More of the Word.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, if I'm having a problem with forgiveness, I need to get more Word of forgiveness into my spirit.
Amen.
You see? I need to read more of those scriptures. Amen. I need to get a promise book. I need to get a concordance. I need to... My goodness, you go on the website, you go, scriptures on forgiveness, and a whole list of things will come. Then, pull out your Bible and start reading those scriptures on forgiveness. And this is how we can allow God to change us in any area in which we need to be changed. How is it going to happen? Not through your willpower, Not through, how many of you done that and you failed? I'm going to do this from now on. Yeah, you do it for a moment. But real change, that built to last change, comes when you take the time to dig deep and touch and put your life on the rock of Christ. And now he's enabled to go to work in your life. Amen. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through the Word. He's going to do it through the Word. So it's time out for us now, right? We have a charge, right? My change is going to come. But how's it going to come? It's going to come because, listen, I'm going to stop being polite with Jesus. Amen? I'm going to stop nodding my head and down going, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I did it, sir. Yes, sir. Because Jesus looking at what I'm doing. He said, stop being polite with me. But I'm really going to dig deep. Why? Because here's the thing. Change is in the atmosphere. My wife and I were talking about this when we went home on the other night. That change is here. God has released change around us. But who's going to lay hold of it? Hmm? Who's going to be the one that really going to lay hold of it? And watch this, right? See, not only lay hold of it, but who's going to be strong enough after they lay hold of it to be able to keep it even when they're tackled by the enemy? See, because some of us, amen, are going to be tackled and we're going to fumble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we ain't strong enough. Mm-hmm. Amen. We ain't built to last. But if we take the time to build ourselves up in our faith by digging deep into the foundation of that Word, we can lay hold of the changes that God has released in our lives. Because we're being changed. We're going to lay hold of some things. And the enemy's going to come and try to strip you of what you got. And he's not going to be able to get it. He's not going to be able to get it. And that change is going to be a lasting change in your life that you've been waiting for and believing on and praying on for a long time. And now it's going to be here, but it's going to be because you allow God to have his way in your life, but you gave him some more time. Amen? Amen. I know, Brother James. I know. Don't tell me I need to put in more time. Okay, then don't! You understand? Stay the same. But don't expect different. That's all. But come on, it's time out. Time out, right? If you expect different, then we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to build that foundation. And foundation building takes time. Amen. I'm built to last. You're built to last too. You built the foundation. You wouldn't have been here. You wouldn't have gotten to this point if you weren't a foundation builder. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You built a one-story house. Maybe you built a two-story house. But now you want to build even greater. How many of you know you need a stronger foundation?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen? And some of us, amen, we built a one-story house, and now we think we're going to build a skyscraper on the same foundation. I'm telling you, that thing's going to fall down.
Yeah.
So you've been a foundation builder, and you know what it's taken to get here, to this point in your life, and to not be shaken by the things that the enemy has done. But now that God has released in your spirit this anointing of greater, you have to understand your foundation. You got to start with your foundation, amen. Don't start building the greater house yet.
Yes.
Right? Don't start building the greater house yet. Build a bigger foundation. Right? Because bigger things are in store for your life. But you're going to need a bigger foundation. So now, you are one of those built to last people, but you want to continue to be that person. Continue digging deep. Now you got to build a bigger foundation because bigger things are coming in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we're going to build these things. Amen. So don't be a hearer of the word. We know this. We've heard this before. Amen. This is nothing but stirring up your remembrance and putting you in remembrance of things. Amen. And as you're remembering that, remember this. Remember the Lord said way back when he was talking about Saul in his disobedience. What he told him? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? God is more concerned with us doing what he says to do than anything else. Because he understands that's the key to us living successful lives. Right? That we can have good success if we, what? He said, he told Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. And then he said, and be careful to do according to all that is written therein.
Yes.
But then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Yeah.
Good success can come from doing back then. What do you think it comes from now? Doing what God says. Right? And again, let this be your encouragement. You have an anointing in your life to do greater things right now.
Mm-hmm.
To do bigger things right now. But you're going to have to change the foundation upon which you build those things, because the foundation you're standing on now will not support the things that are to come.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So get to digging, amen? Get to digging, build that bigger foundation, so that the bigger things that God has planned for you will come to pass, and not only come to pass, but they will prove themselves to be able to stand the test of time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's rest on our feet this morning for glory to God. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, first of all, God, because you are God. We thank you, Lord, because you have a plan for us. We thank you, God, because your will for us has not been frustrated, but God, that your will for us still stands intact. And we thank you, God, that right now we believe by faith in the Son of God that greater things are on our horizon, that God, you have bigger and better things for us to do as we embark on this new year. Father God, we shall, oh God, build, oh God, on a strong foundation. But Father, you let us know that, Father, if we're going to build bigger houses, God, we need a bigger and stronger foundation.
Yes.
God, we thank you right now, God, that you have spoken unto us, oh God, and you have given us your word, oh Father, to start with what matters, oh God. That's building our foundation.
Yes,
upon the rock of Christ. Building our foundation upon your word and upon obedience unto your word. Show us, God, where it is that we must dig in the name of Jesus Christ. Show us, oh God, what it is that we have to apply ourselves to diligently, Father God, that we can be sure to be building a strong, steady, and firm foundation, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, so that as we go forward and do those greater things, those glorious things that you have planned for us, that, Father God, it will stand the test of time. Father God, we know that our change is coming. And Father, we believe by faith that we are built to last.
Yes.
Let us remember, oh God, all the things that we have done in our past to get to this point. Because
yes,
God, we have built on a foundation. That foundation is Christ. We have built our lives upon you. And you have allowed us to stand through the storms, to come through the wind and the rain.
Yes.
And here we are, God. But Father, help us, God, not to abandon and to turn our backs on the things, oh God, that you have taught us, but to continue to put them to work in our lives, that we may see the greater. God, we thank you that the greater is coming.
Yes.
We thank you, God, that the greater is coming into our lives. We thank you, God, that the better is coming,
yes,
that the bigger is coming, that the more glorious is coming, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Our change is coming, God, and is bigger and better than anything that we've ever seen before. And so, God, let us be mindful, oh God, to build the foundation so that those better, bigger, more glorious changes that are coming in our lives, God, will not only come, but they will stay and become part of who we are and who you have made us to be. Father, we thank you now. We thank you now that our heart and our mind is set, that, Father God, we are not running on emotion, but we are running on the word of God. We are not running based on feelings, but, Father, we are moving by faith. And, Father, we thank you right now for all that you're doing in our life. We thank you that change is in the atmosphere.
Yes,
and God, we shall lay a hold of it in the name of Jesus Christ as we set ourselves to put our focus on you and build that sturdy foundation on the basis of your word. To you we give the praise, to you we give the glory, to you we give the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.